I'm so glad he does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, choir. Good job. We're going to look at some few verses this morning. Let me see what we got here. We'll start with John chapter 15, verse 8 as introduction. And we'll read a few more things to you in just a minute. And we're just talking about leave something behind. You know, a lot of times we don't want to do that. You know, when you lose something or whatever. But, you know, we've had a lot of different people we know and things that happen in our life that, and I have a funeral later I'm going to have to do and want to do. But it gets difficult. When we went to another funeral last week for a preacher friend of ours that was the man who started the college that we're at and so forth. And it's, you know, one of the things you notice when you go through someone's life, and we have to think, kind of talk about it on our own, is what did we leave behind? Because we go through our life sometimes and we start thinking about what we need, what we want, what we expect. You know, when we're young, we may be thinking, well, we're going to go to graduate and we're going to go to school. Maybe we can go to college, or maybe we're going to go to more school after that, or graduate school, or we want to get married, want to have children, want to have a house, want to have a boat, want to have a dog and a bird and a cat. You know, we have it all planned out. And then, you know, as your kids get older, you know, you start thinking about you're wanting and desiring to fill that empty nest syndrome. Thinking, why are my kids still at home? Why don't they find something to do? And then they finally get them all out of the house, and you finally have some time ahead. Now you're thinking about what else you can do and what else you can get, and have in life. But and we may accumulate a lot of things in our life. But when we pass on, we realize that we can't carry any of that, bring any of that with us. Our kids, our grandkids, everybody else is going to get all our stuff. And so if you want to really get back at your kids or grandkids, don't leave them anything. Let them get it themselves. You know, buy your own house. Get your own car. Do it the hard way like I did. You know, work for a living. Don't have it just given to you. But God wants us to understand that as believers, as Christians, we have an obligation to leave something behind for the next generation of Christians, the generation of believers. And we should not be spending all our time leaving behind material things for our own family, because that's all going to go away one day. But what he wants you to do is leave behind something that's going to matter for the kingdom of God. What can we leave behind that's going to make a difference that when we're gone, the work continues to go forward? You know, and my generation, which thanks to Miss Hattie, it's great to have her in the house, because you always know when she's here because it's never quiet. And I'm getting a hard time because she said, well, I'm gonna be here on Wednesday. And we're, you know, old man, and she's giving me all kind of trouble. And you're thinking, well, you know, if she reminds me that we're all getting older and we're all changing. And in my generation, you saw, you know, there was I know Brother Cowboy, you talked to me about this before, and the preachers that we knew when we were young, a lot of them had passed on, and some of them are still around, but the preachers we knew would go into the pulpit and they preach with fire. And I mean, sometimes literal fire was coming out of their mouth when I was watching them preach. And if you weren't careful, you're going to get burnt. And if you weren't going to get burnt by those, you're going to get burnt by the word of God. But they would preach with boldness and fire and conviction. And now what I see is the older generation is dying off. And yes, there's still preachers out there doing that. And I'm praising God for those that are still sticking by the stuff and still preaching God's word. But a lot of them have turned aside and have just gone the way of the world. And they're just trying to please people instead of pleasing God. And it's completely different because God doesn't want us to live in a society that just wants to please yourself. That's just selfishness. All you're thinking is about what can I get out of life for your own self instead of what can I leave for the next generation behind me. And so God wants us to leave something behind. And in John 15, in verse number 8, it tells us what God's desire is. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, not us, but God himself glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." God says the people, the world can tell that you're my disciple if you bear fruit for me. Well, God wants us to, when we bear fruit, that means we're telling people about the Lord, and we're bringing people back to Jesus, and we're teaching people the word, and we're explaining the gospel, and we're doing the things that God wants us to do to bring up another generation of people, just like a fruit, and it bears fruit, and that fruit, some of that seed falls to the ground. And a lot of times the Bible, when it talks about fruit, it's really talking about seeds. A lot of times it says about fruit. It's not really talking about fruit trees, but you could definitely look at it that way. But he's talking really about corn and wheat, and that's what they had. And when that wheat falls to the ground, it brings forth more. And so it has to develop. The more fruit we bring forth, the more seed we can leave behind, so another more fruit can be brought up from that seed. And so our generation is to bring forth that fruit for God to please him and leave some seed behind so the next generation can bring forth fruit for God too. It's commanded of us to do so. It's expected of us by God to do so. And it's needed. Otherwise, this world is never going to understand and have any disciples if we don't tell people about Jesus. It's our job to do so. If we have one job, that's it. We have more than one, but that's what God wants us to do. So what can we leave behind? I'm just giving you some examples of some people here. First of all, when you talk about Abraham and his life, the Bible tells that when he went and journeyed through different lands as God was bringing him to the promised land, he dug a lot of wells along the way. And he always dedicated those wells to God, and he gave them a name that represented a characteristic of God. In Genesis 26:18, it says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which the father had called them." And see, when Abraham dug these wells, he gave them a name of the God Almighty. Well, when the Philistines took over that land later, they plugged them up because they didn't want any representation of the Almighty God. They had their gods. They didn't want to worship the God Almighty, and so they definitely didn't want something from Abraham that testified of his faith in the Lord. And so these wells were named after names of God. They were a testimony of what God had done for Abraham throughout his journeys, and they were offered as rest and refreshment for any travelers. Of course, that water was a well, so it definitely gave forth water and gave some place for people to have refreshment and rest. Moses brought the law to the people. In Exodus 24:12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Moses was called of God, and he followed God, and all his life he was dedicated to the Lord, and he brought the words of God to the people so they could for the first time have a law from God himself on how they're to govern their lives. Abraham left those wells behind, and Moses left the law behind. And then we talked about the New Testament with Paul, and we said, well, you know Paul's life, and he had a lot of opportunities in his life through the Lord. Of course, he went through a lot of discomfort and trials and tribulations, but Paul started a lot of churches in his time. In Acts 14 and 21 through 23, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders of every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. So Paul went forth. Once he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, his life completely changed. And from that point forward, all he wanted to do was preach the gospel, teach other people about the Lord, and bring up disciples and start new churches all out the Asia and out that area. And that's exactly what he did. He preached and taught Jesus. He exhorted the saints. It tells us here he lifted them up, went back to visit them. He was exhorting the saints. He wasn't tearing down the saints. He was exhorting them and confirming them, ordaining elders to be pastors of the churches that he started. And this is how Paul left something behind. He left the churches behind that thrived in his absence and continued on for after many years after that. And Moses, you know, he brought forth that law and was a commander of the people and brought them through tried to get them into the promised land and got to the point that they almost got there. And Abraham, of course, was a servant of God, a friend of God, it says, and he devoted his life to serve God and dug wells so people could see the testimony in his own life of what God did for him. And so the generation of people that came back before these people had them to look at, and they, because they left something behind. Not all of them left the same thing behind. None of them were perfect. You can see that in the scriptures. Abraham lied. He was not always faithful. He deterred on some things. He was just human, just like everybody else. Moses, when he was first called, did not want to be called, did not want to go to do the work of God, but God showed him the better way, and then he committed himself to it, and then he made a mistake when he struck the rock too many times, and he was kept from going into the promised land. He made some mistakes, but he still left something behind. Paul was not a saint either. He was a saint of God, but he wasn't perfect. None of these men were perfect. They all had problems and difficulties in life just like we do. But what they decided to do was dedicate themselves to the Lord, leave something behind for the next believers that are coming up that they may have some seed to grow on. They left something behind. And so what is it that we can leave behind? You know, wells were a testimony of God. The law was a testimony of God. The churches were a testimony of God. So can you see what we can leave behind? We can leave behind a testimony for the next generation. This next generation needs to see a testimony from you that you live for God, you work for God, you devoted your life to God, you trusted in God. And when you pass on, they'll see that testimony and say, he was a man of God's own heart. He followed God. She followed God. She dedicated her life to God. And now they can see it, and that gives them encouragement and help that they can make it too. I need those people in my life. I had those people in my life. And we need it today, and the next generation needs it. Your legacy begins and ends with your testimony. Right. What are you going to leave behind for this world? What are they going to remember you for? Oh, man, I remember Brother Tony. He had that big old house at the lake, and and he had 16 rooms, 27 bathrooms, 47 boats in the back, his own pier. The lake was Lake Michigan because he bought it from the, and he owned the whole Lake Michigan. And we used to go fishing there. Now he's dead, no one let us on the property, and we can't go no more. And I left my cell phone in his house, and I can't find it. But that's not what we should be, remembered for. That's all going to go away. It's all going to pass. It's not the houses. It's not the homes. It's not the money. It's not the things of this world. It's our testimony. What do we have that we can give to the next generation? Do they know that you are faithful with God? How do you want to be remembered? I think I just wrote a few things down here with me to leave behind in our testimony. First of all, that people can say that you are a follower of Christ. I mean, can people say, if you were to die tomorrow and you had your funeral, would they say that you were a Christian? You were a child of God. Would they know that without someone coming up and telling them that this person was a believer? Would they know that ahead of time? Would they be able to say, well, I'm sorry to hear the loss of so-and-so, but thank God he's in the hands of the Lord. I mean, they'd be able to say that because they know your testimony that you are a follower of Christ. There was no doubt in their mind that you were a Christian, that you're a believer, How would they know that? Through your testimony, what you said, how you talked about Christ, where you went, how you reacted when problems and situations hit your life. Did you just throw up your hands and give up and quit? I quit. I give up. I'm not doing anything anymore. Or did you say, well, God brought me through this before. He's going to bring it through me again because God is wonderful. God is love and God loves me. And I know everything's going to work out for his glory. They're looking at how you respond as a believer. It shouldn't be like the world. It shouldn't be like we have so many problems in our life. There's no hope for it. No, we got hope in Christ. Our hope is always in Christ, and God and the people of this world need to see that we're a follower of Christ. We're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be one thing that you'd remember about you, one testimony that we can have. But another one should that we were a faithful servant of Christ. You know, I have done funerals for people who are Christians that I have not seen in church years before then. I don't know where they were at. I don't know what they were doing in their life. I don't know what happened. So it's not just a matter of people knowing that you're a Christian, but did you follow Christ in being faithful to Christ? That means taking charge of what he has given you and using it for his glory. Because if you were faithful with what God has given us, you know, in our walk with God, sometimes we think that we want more. And yet we forget that everything that God has given us, we're responsible for. We have to give an account for everything that we've been given in our life. And so if God doesn't give you a lot in life, just praise the Lord because now you don't have a lot to be accountable for. If he gives you a lot, you better be encouraged that you're going to have to stay faithful and strong in this, and because you're going to be accountable for all that. But whatever it is that God has given us in our life, we ought to be faithful with it. And we ought to be able to leave that testimony behind that not only were we a believer, but we're faithful with what God has given us. God wants us to be a friend of Christ. You can be a follower of Christ and say, I want to be Christ-like in my life and talk about Christ and try to do the work of God. But then if you give up later in your life, you may not be faithful to Christ to continue to do it. But can people say you're a friend of God, a friend of Christ? They said that about Abraham. He wasn't perfect. He didn't do a whole lot in his life. But what he did do is leave a testimony behind that he was a friend of God. Amen. God himself said that. Can he say that about us? Well, how can we be a friend of God? Well, God wants to be our friend, but how can we be his friend? The Bible tells us that ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If we'll just follow what God has said in his word, we can be a faithful follower and friend of Christ. If we'll just do what he said. Can people say that? Can we leave that legacy behind in our life that says we are not only a follower of God, we're faithful to God, but we're a friend of God? Not that we're bragging, but can people around us, our own family, say that they were a friend of God? Because they were faithful and they followed God's word no matter what it said. That's the testimony. That's the testimony God wants us to leave behind. And then, have we been teaching others to do the same testimony? You know, it's good to have a testimony, but we got to teach others to have the same testimony. That includes our own children, our family, our spouses, our friends. The people around, they may be going through a difficult time. They may be having a problem and a hard time, but we can teach them, teach others to have the same kind of testimony as somebody else through our own testimony. It's not that hard for us to leave something behind. God doesn't want you to build some mansion and, you know, and that's your legacy. That's not what God wants you to leave behind. You know, Abraham didn't do a whole lot. He did what God wanted him to do. Moses, for many years, didn't do anything until God finally called him. And it took a while for that to get started. And then he did that, and he ends up dying in the wilderness. That's what God wanted in his life. That's what he did. That was his testimony. That was his legacy. Paul went through a lot of difficulty and hardship. That's why he says there that, you know, there's going to be tribulation, much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. Because he went through a lot of stuff. And he didn't live forever. His life was fairly short. But he left something behind. And it wasn't about the churches he started, but that he was faithful in following God and starting those churches. Because that's what God called him to do. These last three men in my life that I've lost had a great testimony. And he left something behind. Larry Brown, none of y'all probably knew him except maybe one. He wasn't a perfect man. There wasn't anything perfect about him. But what he did do is he was a Christian. I know he was a believer. And I know he followed God. And I know he was faithful in what he did for the Lord. And it shined forth in his life, even up to death, that he was a friend of God. Because there was times in his life when he was a young preacher, when he got out of college and he was just married, he got called to this church, beautiful church, and then he could, the house that came with being the pastor was this beautiful house with a great big old pool in the back and everything. And his wife, I remember her saying it, and she was saying it, how, oh, this is the place for you, honey. This is where God's called you, because this house is beautiful. We got a pool in the back, and a church is big, and it got good ministry here. This is where God wants you. And Brother Larry prayed about it and told his wife, I don't think God wants me to be here. I think he wants me to go back to North Augusta and start a church. And she goes, I mean, you know, you're in the ministry. He's expecting to get paid. He was going to have a good salary there, and everything is going to be great. And he probably would have done great there. But he knew in his heart that God wanted him to go back to his hometown by Augusta and start a church. And he opened his pickup truck. He told me, I know this story because he told me it 1,000 times. He always tells me his testimony. And he opened up his pickup truck, put that bed down, and him and his brother and a couple of people, 9 people were told, had his first service in the woods on top of a hill. He always said that. Had his first service. Preached the house down to his 9 people there. And God used his faithfulness to continue that work even today. And when he started that work, after he started working, he started growing, things are going, he started a Bible college. He says, I got to teach these preachers how to preach because they don't have no clue what they're doing. And so he started a college, and he only had a few students. First time, about 10 years later, that's about the time we got there, he had about 50, 60 students by then. It wasn't a huge college. There's a place you could go to learn the Word of God and to preach the Word of God, be involved in the ministry of God, and to see a testimony from this man of God that was following Christ. And I guarantee he had some stuff happen in his life that none of us would want to happen in our life. But he went through it, him and his wife. They lost a baby. They lost their house to a fire. They lost a lot of things. And it may have been detrimental to some of us, but we saw him as a man of God that stayed with God through it all. That was his testimony. And I wasn't praising God for the church he built, which I'm glad he did, or the people that were there, which I'm glad they were there. I don't give him glory for anything because he didn't want anything. But what I'm saying is he left something behind for the next generation. Now, Brother Townsend's over there, and he's pastoring over there, and his wife is Becky, the one we knew from Brother Hurt's child, his daughter, Katie's sister, and they're pastoring there, and they're still doing the ministry with the teens and stuff, and God's still using that place because someone decided that I don't believe God called me to that church. I think God wanted me to start a church over there, and he was faithful, and he left something behind. Yeah. Took a lifetime, but he did. Brother Price, I know Charlie's listening, so I won't say too much. He was, like Miss Charlie says, he was not a perfect man. And yes, he was wrong in some things too. But he already figured that out already, I can guarantee you. But he was one of the wisest men I knew when it came to the word and the gospel and Jews and the traditions and so forth. He knew a lot. And I remember Miss, Charlie, she was talking about that too, and she said a little about that online about when they met, and you know, and Jack said something. I don't remember all the words she had it written down there, but he said something like, you know, how would you like to go see the world with me? And I know Miss Charlie's thinking, I'm seeing the world right now. What do you mean? And Jack believed that God was calling him to be a missionary and to go into Africa and start churches. And I can't remember. She posted online later when you get there. I can't remember how many churches they started. But it was hundreds. Hundreds. Throughout that time that he was over there in different tribes and everything, there's still a lot of them going on. And it's not just the fact that the churches were being started, but the fact that Jack was faithful enough to Jesus to follow his call to go regardless. And man, he had some health problems. He was not the most healthiest person ever. And he had a lot of issues in his life. But even up to this, you know, this year, y'all knew that he had problems with his hands, and they got messed up, and he was kind of like this, and the doctor told him he probably wouldn't get all the function of his fingers back, and he was trying to type, you know, emails to people, and there's times that he couldn't barely even move, and Miss Charlie had to take care of him as the nurse she is, and God knew that Jack was going to need a nurse in his life, but you know, she was faithful to go along and do this and follow along, and because they knew how important it was to be faithful to God, to whatever he called us to do, to teach others and to show them the testimony that God gave in their life to leave something behind for the next generation. And now there's people and preachers that have been taught the Word of God, and ladies that have been taught the Word of God, that they're bringing the Word of God to other people because of what they did. And it's not necessarily the work they did, but that they were faithful to God to leave something behind. Now we have another generation of people over there going to bring forth the Word because of what somebody else did in their life. They were faithful to do that. I got to do a funeral later for our friend Nathan, and he served with me. He wasn't a preacher of the gospel, but he served with me when I was at the church in Southside at Pyron. And we had many times that we went door knocking together. One thing that guy loved to do is tell people about Jesus. I mean, he had that gift of evangelism to tell people about the Lord. And if y'all never been down there, because a lot of people don't even want to drive on the Southside, those neighborhoods aren't the greatest. I mean, they're really old neighborhoods, and you have to understand that when you go there. And we ran across gang members and a lot of other people, different people that we went door knocking and met along the way. And I love Nathan because he was a big old dude. He was, I don't know how tall he was. He was 6'4", 6'8", I don't know what he was, and wide. He was half Polish and half Mexican. That's a weird combination. But his Polishness brought the size. It's kind of like Brother Brian a little bit, you know, tall, big, muscular, strong. But he was a gentle bear. But no one knew that. So when we came up to the door, I got, you know, me, like Brother Jones is always messing with me. You know, I got me and we got Nathan. And so I'd have Nathan go knock on the door. Saying that they're not going to give you any lip. You just take it, go. And they didn't know him, but they saw him. And, you know, he had that look about him that he was, you know, that he was a big guy, and, you know, he wasn't going to take anything off anybody. But he just told people the word, and he had a great way of explaining the word of God to people to understand it wasn't their religion. It was a relationship. You know, we met a lot of people from different backgrounds, all kind of backgrounds, and people look at their labels and look at, you know, who they are and who they grew up to be and what their family was. And it's not about all that. We're not we're not explaining all that to you. We're explaining how you can become a child of God and be related to God, that your name can be written down in glory. And Nathan was what a man that was faithful. He was always there. And when we got to the church there, it wasn't many of us. It was a small church. And that's the reason why we went there, because I knew they needed our help. And when we first moved into town, it was just me and my wife, and, you know, Tina and Becky were small at grade school age. And we wanted to go to church that had a program for the children. And because I wanted them to be taught, want to have friends, Christian friends and so forth. Who doesn't want that from their family? I mean, I have people come here, you know, they come looking for a church that has a big teen department because they want their teens to be involved. I understand that. That's what I wanted. But God wanted something different. He said, look, I gave you all this experience and abilities to start churches. We started churches before, went to a college that helped promote, you know, starting churches and from scratch. So you're the man for this job here. And so we ended up going there, and there wasn't any kids until Nathan and his family showed up, and they had two kids. Praise the Lord! There's two more kids. We can start a Sunday school class now. And they became great friends, and they grew up together. One thing I know about Nathan is I could count on him that he was going to be there every service. And I needed him there, and I was glad he was there. And he left a legacy behind. He left a testimony behind to his family, his friends, that's still coming on today and online, and people talking about it, that he loved the Lord. He served God faithfully, and he always wanted to see people saved. That's what you could say. That's a great testimony. God wants us to leave something behind. He's not asking for much. He just wants you to show forth what he's already made you. You are a child of God. The world needs to see that light. They need the light. We need to show them the truth. We need to teach them about Christ. We need to live like we really know God and love God. If you'll leave that behind, that's enough. God just wants you to be faithful and what he called you to do. Stand with me if you would, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we have a time of invitation. Maybe something God may be speaking to your heart about. Maybe you've just never been really 100% sure that you're a child of God and that you're saved, that you've been born again in the family of God. The Bible makes it clear God doesn't want it to be confusing. He wants everybody to understand that we don't have to perish. We have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, but we have to believe in it, accept him, and trust him as our Savior. He tells us that whosoever shall believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. If you'll just call upon him and be saved, ask him to save you today, you can be, and you will be. It's that simple. It's not joining some church or following some ritual. It's just trusting Christ as your Savior and ask him to save you. If you do that, your name will be written down in glory, and you'll be a saint of God, a child of God. And God has a purpose for every single one of us. He wants us to fulfill that purpose. Whatever it is, he called us all to different things. But what he does want us to do is to be faithful in what he called us to do. Just be obedient and faithful. Bear fruit for God, because that's what he wants. And if you'll bear that fruit, you'll leave behind seed for the next generation. That's what you need to be remembered for. Not what you failed at, not what you didn't accomplish, but what did you do for the Lord? What did you leave behind? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time I have here today. I ask that you'll bless us now and help us to draw closer to you today, to open our hearts to you today. And whatever it is that we need to do, may we accept that and acknowledge that today and give it over to you and surrender it to you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray together, altars are open. If you'd like to come pray, just let God have his way.